Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we meditate on our second reading from 1 Peter chapter 2 about being built into the spiritual house of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your word. Your word is truth. Amen. Friends, today we thank God for our mothers, for the care, compassion, and commitment they show us, for their incredible willingness to give of themselves, and for their unconditional love that mirrors the love of God itself. Now, of course, not everyone has been blessed to have such a mother, but those who have are blessed indeed. It's been said that if a father is the head of the house, then a mother must be every other part. Or if the father is the head of the house, then a mother must be its heart. I don't want to give a theological critique of such statements. I just think they're human attempts to try to put into words the lasting influence of a mum on her family, on her house, and on her society as a whole. Today, Peter describes God's people as a spiritual house being built by him on the foundation of Jesus Christ, living stones brought together to offer spiritual sacrifices to God. So I want to pick up this imagery of the spiritual house today, starting at the front door. Now, when we enter the front door of a house, there are certain things we leave outside. We might take off our shoes if they're muddy. In some cultures, it's rude not to. We might take off our jackets if it's cold outside and perhaps hang them on a hook near the door. There might even be certain behaviours that we leave outside because we know that they're not appreciated inside. Peter says that when we come to the house of God, or better yet, when we come to be the house of God, there are certain things we take off. He says, rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up into your salvation. Peter points especially to those behaviours which he sees as detrimental to the smooth running of the spiritual household and the witness it gives. So he picks up things like harsh words, false motives, deception, envying others or speaking ill of them, and hypocrisy, saying one thing and doing another. This is a charge that people will often level at Christians, partly because they misunderstand what it means to be the spiritual yet imperfect house of God, and partly because they understand it very well, and the accusation is sometimes justified. Peter says, when you come to be the house of God, leave these things at the door. And so we do. We confess our sins to God. We seek his forgiveness, not just when we come to the house of God, but daily as we be the house of God. Like infants, we crave the spiritual milk of God's word and God's grace. This is a metaphor of closeness and intimacy with God. We rely on the simple but life-giving, growing and sustaining nourishment of his word, and by it we grow into our salvation. Peter goes on, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. As we come to him, we learn increasingly who he is and who we are. We learn about Christ and we learn from Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." What is this cornerstone the reading talks about? Now, every builder in the ancient world knew what the cornerstone was. It was the first stone chosen, the most precious stone chosen, and perfect stone chosen. It was the first stone laid in the building, the one upon which every stone was subsequently laid or aligned. Therefore, its quality and its dimensions were all important, because what the cornerstone was, the rest of the house would become. And so the ancient builder knew the importance of getting this stone right. Just as God, the master builder before the foundation of the world, knew the importance of his son in his plan of salvation. The stone the builders rejected, the stone that causes people to stumble. Some didn't want him as the cornerstone. Some didn't recognize his value or his worth and quickly discarded him. And yet their rejection of him only cemented his place as God's chosen one, destined to give himself up for the sake of the world. You know, there are all sorts of things we can build our lives on apart from him and do. Our health, our wealth, our happiness, the Western trifecta that can be so easily won today and lost tomorrow. What then? There are all sorts of things we can align ourselves with or judge ourselves on and do. We so easily compare ourselves with others, and that either fills us with self-pity or pride. We say that the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, but we know within us that it's much more than that. Not only is the grass always greener, but the garden's in better shape, the architectural integrity of the house is better, the stonework, the paving, the painting, the Wi-Fi connection, everything's better over there. The people seem happier, the car's newer, the kids are better behaved, you name it. We are very well versed in the art of comparisons. But to have Jesus as our cornerstone is to stop aligning ourselves with others and to simply let God align us to his Son and build us up in him and use us as he sees fit in his service. So after throwing a few stones, Peter goes on to tell us what it really means to be living stones in the house of God. And as he goes on, I would say he speaks as highly of the Christian life and Christian people as anyone does anywhere in Scripture. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Aligned to Christ by baptism and faith, we become in God's eyes what Christ is: chosen, royal, priestly, holy people. That is, people with God's favor, people with direct access to our Heavenly Father, people who have an intimate bond with God, people who praise God, not just in a church building, but in our homes and in our workplaces and on our streets and wherever we find ourselves. C.S. Lewis picks up this metaphor of the spiritual house in a slightly different way. I've shared it with you before, but I'd like to again because it ties in well today. He writes, "Imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in to rebuild. At first, perhaps, you can understand what he's doing. He's getting the drains right, stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. Now, you knew those jobs needed doing, and so you're not surprised. But presently he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably and does not seem to make any sense at all. What on earth is he up to? The explanation is that he's building quite a different house from the one you thought of. Throwing out a new wing here, putting on an extra floor there. He's running up towers, making courtyards. You see, you thought you were being built into a decent little cottage. But he's building a palace, and he intends to come and live in that palace himself. Friends, we are the household of God. Not just a decent little cottage, but his grand palace. We are chosen by him and precious to him, and his Holy Spirit dwells within us. That doesn't mean we're perfect. We are always God's work in progress. It doesn't mean we don't have struggles. We always do this side of eternity. But it does mean that we are his, that our church is his church, our home is his home, our life is his life. And so we stand by his grace and we declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light, not currently in this spiritual house, but daily as his spiritual house, wherever we are. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for building us up block by block into your spiritual house. We thank you that you build us on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ our Lord. Keep us in him, build us up and strengthen us by him, and help us to serve him all the days of our life. In his name we pray. Amen.